even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hi, and welcome to Serious Issues, a comic book podcast. My name is Andrew Levins.
My name is Siobhan Coombs.
And here we are, quarantining, miles away from each other, but united by our love of comic books.
It will never die, even if the industry dies around us.
Can you give us an update? Obviously, you still working at King's Comics. King's Comics not actually open at the moment. Still running a very robust online store with tons of like amazing finds from their enormous warehouse, which they're finally actually exploring at this point.
Yeah, it's forced us to actually plumb the depths of the King's warehouse. I fucking have no idea, man. Like, I wish I had some kind of, here's what's gonna happen. But basically, everything, like, Diamond, who are the only distributor for comic books worldwide, turned around and were like, we're not shipping any comics anymore, which has just taken everything out of the entire industry. So I don't really know. I don't know what's going to happen. DC reckons they're going to start shipping comics again in May. I don't reckon that's going to happen. I don't know. Marvel reckons they're going to be putting stuff out digitally. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's worrying. It's also confusing, and also, like, I think it's for the best that comics aren't shipping right now.
Yeah. It's been a bit of a weird break, in a sense, for everyone, but also it has, like, Kings are one of the very lucky stores. There's a lot of stores that are closing. It's a really good time to be supporting your local comic book store, buying up back issues, supporting creators, because it's a very scary time for people who have built up their entire sort of careers around these stupid floppy picture books, you know?
Yeah, and there's no better time to binge entire series of comics that you've always been wanting to read one day than now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, this episode, I guess, is going to be about what we've been reading in quarantine. Hold on one second.
Yeah.
Archie, I'm recording. Stop knocking.
Hey, Archie.
I have an office at my new place, which rules. And until now, it has been this oasis that my kids don't realize they can get into while I'm recording. And they've been very well behaved. But today, they're like, hey, today's the day. Today's the day. We take on Dad's office.
It's the least serious podcast.
Before we get into what we've been reading, I want to use the start of this podcast to plug what I've been writing.
Hell yeah!
I mean, yeah, everyone knows that I've been writing this book. You actually had one in the mail, but then the Penguin, who published the book, their mail room closed. But I wanted to sign it for you before you get it anyway.
Yes, please. Thank you.
I'll make sure you get one, but buy one.
Yeah.
No, you don't have to. It's fine. Maybe no, tell Nate's sisters to buy one.
I'll buy copies for everyone I know.
So I wrote a book, a kid's book called Nelson, Pumpkins and Aliens. Another thing to maybe not launch in the middle of a pandemic, but hey, maybe this is actually
There's never been a better time.
It's very weird. It's called Nelson, Pumpkins and Aliens. Penguin just published it in Australia. It is available worldwide through Amazon and Book Depository through imports, but they've sold out of copies at the moment, which I think is a really good thing. We'll find out when I get my end of month figures very soon. enough about the numbers. Let's talk about the words, because this book is about a kid named Nelson who hates eating vegetables more than anything in the world. And midway through this book, he is forced to eat a bowl of pumpkin soup. And when he wakes up the next morning, he discovers that they've given him superpowers. And he has strength, and he has to use that super strength to stop an alien invasion. And he learns that all vegetables give him superpowers. In fact, each different vegetable gives him a different superpower. So
pumpkin gives him strength.
Yeah, that's right. And then there's going to be future books. Then each new book is a new vegetable, and then kind of like a new genre of like this one's kind of like fun sci-fi invasion. The next book is a spy book.
And, cute. That's so cute.
And it gets more and more comic booky as it continues. The illustrations in this are gorgeous. It's been done by
illustrators are so good, man.
From the UK.
No offense, but she makes you look fucking incredible.
Oh, I know, totally. Katie Keir is her name, and so she's signed on for the series so far.
Awesome.
I've been contracted for two books, and I am having a meeting with my publisher very soon, and I'm hoping that based off of the pretty okay-seeming sales from the first one, it'll be many, many books, because the second book I just finished writing, I sat up till 3 a.m. two nights ago and just hammered it all out, 13,000 words. I'm really, really doing some big comic booky moves, like seeding things that won't pay off for like six books down the line, which is
you're planning
very
10
risky.
Years in advance, like Hickman.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got all these like big charts all over your walls with like graphs.
Yeah, Nelson starts speaking in a code that you won't be able to decipher until book 7.
All the kids are like, I hate this.
Yeah. I hate this, but I mean, I'm somewhat invested, and now I'm just I have to keep buying them forever. And why does this kids book have variant covers?
But Mom, I have to collect them all.
So yeah, look, it is like it's me writing a kids book that kind of takes on my love of superhero comics. And so if you love superheroes and you love my stupid jokes, there's a good chance you'll like this book. It's called Nelson, Pumpkins and Aliens. If you're in Australia, it's still available through Dimmix and Target and Big W, all the places you buy regular ass books at. But hopefully it'll actually get properly licensed. It looks like it might be in America and the UK. They're already moving to a second print run, which is really, really exciting. Because I've lost all of my DJ income. So now this is what I'm kind of hoping will get
me
through the year. Oh God. Yeah. Gosh. What's Nate doing?
A lot of pacing.
Yeah.
A lot of taking the kids for walks.
Yeah. It's scary, huh?
Yeah. But hopefully, oh fuck, who knows, man? I'm not going to try.
Well, it stopped being scary, and now it's just kind of weird.
Now it's just shit. Now it's just endlessly shit. Fine.
But hey, there's comics to get us through. Enough of these. I mean, you can't even call it's not a YA book. It's just a Y book. It's a young
it's just
book.
Just for youths. Just
book.
For babies, little baby youths. I wouldn't recommend it for like 40-year-olds.
We got some big baby comics, some big adult comics to talk about, some big books.
Yep.
Siobhan, why don't you kick us off? What have you been reading lately?
All right, so this first one I've been rereading recently because I'm about to launch this afternoon the King's Quarantine Book Club, everyone.
That's so good. What
so
a perfect time
be...
to release a podcast.
Thank you so much.
Episode is just going to be like 75% plugs.
Yeah. So I'm doing it because we have a bunch of like trades that we have a lot of stock of in the warehouse, and I miss having conversations about comics with people. So the first one that we're going to be doing is Black Widow by Mark Waid and Chris Samnee.
Oh, and man, so good. And not talked about enough. Everyone, I feel like everyone remembers how good the Daredevil run was, which was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Maybe dragged on a little bit. Maybe they shouldn't have gone to San Francisco, but like, who's to say? And then
maybe they
the
should
Captain
have kept it to a tight 12 issues and made like a perfect little comic book.
I feel like more people talk about the Captain America run that followed this, but in the middle was, Mark Waid, Chris Samnee, equally credited, because I think Mark Waid credited Samnee as a writer as well as the artist. And who did colors on this one?
Matt Wilson, on Daredevil and stuff with them as well. And I had forgotten how completely 100% perfect the first issue is. It is mostly silent. It's just a straight up action one. And the first three panels, it's like Black Widow running through a S.H.I.E.L.D. office as there's like a speaker overhead going, you know, don't let her leave. Final orders, stop the Black Widow leaving here. Blah, blah, blah. And it's just like this incredibly action packed first issue where you don't hear her say a word until the final panel. And it's just, it's so killer. Sammy is like top of his game, incredible action, so beautiful, so well put together. It really feels like it was one where Mark Waid just kind of took a back seat and was like, this is your book, do what you need to do. And it's like, it's so, so good. So I'm really excited to be doing this one for our first book club.
It's great. It's a great, the story has great Bucky moments, like obviously some incredible Nat moments, and just brilliant action. So, so good.
Yeah.
What is Sammy doing next?
I don't know, man. Oh, I think he's doing something at DC. Oh, no, he's doing something creator-owned, I think. I think he's left Marvel, and I think he's
You're right. Here
working
we go.
On something.
Skybound and Image Comics are publishing his book, Firepower. And then
It's a book he's doing with Kirkman, and they're putting it out. I don't know what the schedule of it is now, but they're putting out the first, I think the first four issues in the trade, and then they're releasing it monthly as a single, and it is so good. It is so good, man. It's like
You've read the first four issues, or?
Yeah. So they sent out a preview to comic book stores, and it's really good. It's like a classic fish out of water. Asian-American guy goes to a Buddhist temple to learn about his family, ends up learning about this, like, mystical kung fu thing called the Way of the Dragon or something. Anyway, it's fucking incredible. It's great. It's great.
Oh, that's so fun. What a great team-up.
And, like, gorgeous. Gorgeous to look at. All these beautiful, like, Himalayan mountains. Man, Sammy is killing it.
That's and then he's also putting out a book through Oni Press called Jonna and the Unpossible Monsters.
You read that sounds of that like one? It's going to be all ages. No, I haven't. That sounds great.
He's doing this one with his with Laura Samney, who is either a relation or a...
I believe it's his wife.
Oh, that's awesome. And then and Matt Wilson on colors. It looks like tons of fun. An epic tale of sisters, survival, and some monster punching.
Yay! So that well, that sounds great.
That's the Chris Sumney update that everyone listens to this podcast for. I just signed up to his... if you go to his Twitter, his pinned tweet is a link to... sign up to his newsletter. Everyone should sign up to the newsletters. Comic book creators have great newsletters. Chip Zdarsky's newsletter, Ed Brubaker's newsletter, great newsletters.
Yep. Agreed. I don't actually sign up to any of them because I don't read emails? Newsletters, really. Yeah. I'm very busy. That's not true.
But yeah, so Black Widow by Mark Waid, Chris Samnee, Matt Wilson, a great something, you know, if you can't get to your local comic book shop, it's definitely all available on Marvel Unlimited too if you have that. And it's a hell of a thing to read.
It sure is. And seeing as the movie's been delayed, you might as well get your Black Widow enjoyment from a comic book. Hooray.
Yeah, and it has to be said, like, Black Widow in terms of like solo Black Widow comics, there aren't that many excellent ones.
This is top of the list. This is the best.
Absolutely top of the list. Greg Rucka did some good stuff with her in like the late 90s, early 2000s, but like only very sporadic issues. But they're really worth reading too.
I've never read those. What have you been reading?
Well, I've been reading a ton of manga, and it's all your fault.
Yay! I'm so glad.
You succeeded in your quest to turn me into an enormous weeb.
I don't think I had to push that hard.
No, you really didn't. But the it was unlocked in me very early last year, and now it's kind of all I read.
I want to read Beastars.
So yeah, I've got I've read the first four tankobons, the volumes of Beastars, which is a book written and drawn by Paru Itagaki. Beastars is becoming a lot more well known now because there is a phenomenal anime adaptation, which I would even say is like one of the few anime I've watched that is as good as, if not better, than the manga.
Cool.
It's on Netflix now worldwide, so everyone can and should watch it. It starts out as like a high school drama, but it's in a world of anthropomorphic animals, and so it's at a university where Basically, just through the way things are, all the animals are split up into groups of herbivores and carnivores. But in the drama club, the drama club has like the best cases of like intermingling. Carnivores and herbivores are friends. And Beastars follows the main character of Legoshi, who is a wolf. And there at the start of Beastars, one of the members of the drama club is a herbivore, is murdered by a carnivore. And so suspect maybe, is this the main character, Legoshi? Did he do it? And so there's a little bit of murder mystery. It's mostly a romance book because Legoshi starts falling for a herbivore who's a lot smaller than him. And it's about him processing his feelings. You would love it. Like, this book is very horny, but in a very, very fun to read way. The manga is just excellent. It's so great. The character, that all of the illustrations are just bursting with character. Itagaki does incredible work, you know, drawing menacing characters, cute characters, beautiful moments of like confusing young love. But as this book continues, it becomes so much about like a class war and like the differences between these different kinds of animals, and they all want to grow up to become beast stars, and like the beast star is like kind of like the leaders of their world. And there's never been a herbivore beast star, but there's one at Legoshi's school, a deer called Louis, who he's tapped to be like the next beast star. And man, it's
that
so
sounds
good.
Super cute.
The one thing that definitely makes the manga better than the anime is there's an amazing one shot chapter in which Legoshi's favorite food is egg sandwiches that he gets from the local convenience store, and he actually goes to school with the chicken who lays the eggs that go on his egg sandwiches, and obviously he doesn't know this, but she knows how much he loves eating her eggs, and so it's an entire chapter about her like feeling so proud of her eggs because this wolf loves eating them so much.
God, that's so weird.
It's so
good. So weird. I love it.
They're such cowards for not putting it in the anime, because it's like, that was the moment where I was like, oh, I love this series. This rules. So yeah, that's Beastars. It's published by Viz in the Western world, you can get it from Kings. You can get it from Madman. That's where I got it from. I love it. It's an amazing series to read and to watch. Big recommendation from me.
Nice. I've been reading Leaving Richard's Valley by Michael DeForge.
Wow, look at that shiny cover. Ooh, that's cool.
It's so shiny.
Looks like it's like foil embossed with like a big blotchy ink all over it. It looks great. Who published this one?
This is Drawn Accordingly.
Okay, great.
All Michael DeForge's books. Have you read much Michael DeForge?
I don't even know who he is.
So he did this book called Ants. That's maybe his most famous one. But he does
the one that was adapted into the movie with Woody Allen and Sly Stallone. Great work.
My favorite before I started reading this was called Styx Angelica Folk Hero, but he's sort of like he's a weird indie comics guy, and this is an experiment that he did on Instagram where he put up every day a 4-panel little strip.
Oh, fantastic.
About these animals who get kicked out of a cult, basically, who live in like a valley in Canada, and they have to like make their way in the city. And it covers like the cult leader called Richard and all of these like weird sort of characters who live in the valley. And it's really interesting because he did it he did it every day. It wasn't sort of something that he planned out the plot heaps in advance. So it's quite sort of stream of consciousness sometimes. But it kind of deals with all these like, it's really, really funny, and it's incredibly silly. Like there's a squirrel called Ellie and a spider called Omar. And when Omar sits on Ellie's head, they become the superstar Juliet Napkin.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, oh, she's so beautiful. She's an amazing singer. So it's full of all these like really weird, silly subplots, but it's also kind of about like gentrification and like the city and like all this like squatting and squatters' rights and stuff like that. And so it's really like it's just incredibly engaging. And so I think you can still read it all on Instagram. And he's doing another one at the moment about birds that you can read on Instagram as well if you look him
That's
up.
That's great.
But I really recommend tracking down the big, shiny hardcover because it's...
incredible to look at.
It's incredible to look at.
It looks so good on your shelf. Think about the way the sun would reflect it onto the walls adjacent to it.
Well, exactly. But also full of great story. Fun, very silly, really enjoying it. It's my, like, pre-bed, don't have stress dreams read.
That's amazing. So what was it called again?
Leaving Richard's Valley.
Leaving Richard's Valley. I'm just going to write it down now because I'm going to check this one out. I got to give a shout out to another cartoonist who's currently doing stream of consciousness, making it up as he goes along, cartoon strips. And it's kind of all about his characters being quarantined. And that is the Tasmanian cartoonist Simon Hanselman, who is best known for his Meg, Mog and Owl series, which is published by Fantagraphics as Mega Hex. Mm-hmm. Have you ever read that?
Like... not as much as I should.
So at the moment on his Twitter, which is S_K_Hanselman with two N's, he has been doing a daily it's on his Instagram too, which I think is the same one. But yeah, he basically just it's this insane. I don't know if you've ever read Megan Mogg, the little kids books for witches. It's like a really like. Ridiculous adult version of that character, those characters, and these characters are
like stoner living, humor, right?
Yeah, living in a gross share house, and there's tons of drugs and debauchery going on, but it is weirdly funny and charming, and beautifully colored in with pencils. And he's been just doing this insane epic about his characters getting coronavirus and being stuck in quarantine, and it just escalates. Like one of them got an addiction to Animal Crossing and all kinds of silly topical things like that. That's Simon Hanselman. Definitely check it out. It's really, really great. So he originally from Tasmania, but he now lives in Seattle, which is...
It's obviously like a really scary time for creators, but it is really interesting seeing what people are making while they sort of don't have the obligations of like paid work.
Yes, totally. I know, right?
That's some good shit.
Absolutely, it's cool. I mean, God, it's so much fun just watching everyone, tap into the creativity that they have been like either avoiding because they have been too busy on other things, or just like, oh, why not? I'm able to do it now. But also, if you can't use any creativity given how weird things are right now, that's fine too. And just enjoy other people's creativity as a distraction.
And just keep your head up for crying out loud.
That's creativity, like the what you can find in a book that Siobhan recommended everyone read last year.
Yes.
So I managed to go to... I realized that it was around the corner. I was like, the libraries are going to close soon. So I went to my local library and I took both my library card and my kids' library card that says 20 books each. I got 40 books. I got a bunch of graphic novels for myself, and I got a bunch of books for the kids as well. And then the next day, the library's closed.
We did the same thing, but with a Prince CD, and it's genuinely saved our quarantine. Our kids
just
love
one
Prince,
Prince CD.
Well, we didn't realize the libraries were going to close, and we borrowed it. And then the next day, the library's closed, and now we just permanently have this Prince CD, and it's like all the songs that he wrote for other people, but him performing it.
Oh, that's
anyway. Otto's new favorite song is Manic Monday.
His version of Nothing Compares to You.
Yeah.
That is very good.
It is unbelievable.
Yeah. But the book I'm talking about is The Prince and the Dressmaker, which I borrowed from Parramatta Library, and I now get weekly updates saying, your books have been renewed. And I'm like, I know, Parramatta Library, I know. But The Prince and the Dressmaker is a graphic novel published by, what are they called? First Second. Sorry, there's a library sticker over their logo.
The best publisher of like YA
absolutely.
Comics out there.
In fact, I got they had almost everything First Second has published in the last couple of years, and I got almost all of it. So I have lots of books of what it's like to discover you're a lesbian in your teenage years coming up. So The Prince and the Dressmaker is written by Jen Wang. written and drawn by Jen Wang, and it is about a dressmaker who is invited to start making dresses for, she learns, the prince in her land, and the prince is just more comfortable when they are wearing dresses. And it is a book about accepting who you are, hiding secrets from the people who love you, but, you know, and eventually revealing who you are to them too. And while I think I don't want to spoil
I genuinely just got a chill thinking about it.
It is
it's so
the
good.
Most beautiful, accepting ending.
Yeah.
And in the most fun, unexpected way.
Yeah.
I just, like, I cried in this book.
Yeah.
It is so genuinely moving, but there were very, very happy tears. I, like, fist pumped at the moment that I'm talking about where, I think it obviously is a huge level of fantasy. I mean, it is a work of fiction, but, like, the level to which the prince is accepted for their decision, for their, you know, who they want to be, is just so beautiful and sweet. And look, maybe not realistic, but it is the kind of great message of acceptance that I think all kids should read.
Absolutely. And it's like gorgeous. It is so beautiful. Like, the dresses are so, like, intricately drawn and beautiful. And Jen Wang is such a sophisticated cartoonist, and the colors are perfect. I love that book.
It's a perfect book. It's actually a perfect book. I think it's required reading. I'm sure it wouldn't set you back much. I would just say everyone just buy it if you were looking
just
for something
different.
It's a book that you can read and reread and reread and recommend to everyone else that lives in your house, and then they'll reread it. And then you'll all make each other beautiful dresses that you can romp about your house in.
Yeah, man. Lovely. What else are you going to do?
Thank you very much for putting that book on my radar. I think you said it was like your favorite book of 2018 or whenever it was.
I think it was.
And
it's
I don't blame you for saying that. It is like genuinely perfect.
Yeah. I'm so glad you read it.
Definitely check out The Prince and the Dressmaker by Jen Wang, published by First Second.
I'm pretty sure it's consistently in print.
Yeah, my rare foray outside of manga was very rewarding.
Speaking of books about discovering you're a lesbian when you're a teenager, published by First Second, I've been reading...
My second favorite genre after manga.
I have been reading On a Sunbeam by Tilly Walden. Genius child Tilly Walden, this is her fifth massive graphic novel, and she's like 23 years old or something.
She's younger than both of us. That sucks
yeah,
so much.
I know, man. I'm trying really hard to be like, man, she's just so talented. What an amazing person, and not be filled with like, who are you, you small child? How dare you be better than me in every possible way? Anyway, so I'm reading On a Sunbeam, which is, I don't know if it's her first fiction. She's done a lot of autobio comics, like she did Spinning, which was about her experience of being a figure skater and realizing that she was gay and all this kind of stuff, which is like an amazing read. But On a Sunbeam is like a sci-fi story, her first sci-fi story, and I'm only a little bit into it. But already, it's amazing. The canonically lovely Nate loved it and cried reading it.
Yes, Nate.
Which happens way more than he would like to admit. He cries a lot. But it is, so far, also completely perfect. It's about this, like, team of kind of young women who are working to restore various abandoned buildings on planets, so that they can then be reused. And I'm just not far enough into it to give you like a really good summation, but
I mean,
if you
telling us that it made Nate cry, that's as good a recommendation as you can give.
It's a love story told over two timelines, set in space with a crew of like incredibly well fleshed out young female and non-binary characters. If that sounds like it is your jam, this, I mean, she's the best. She's won like three Eisners already or something. She's the best.
She's fucked. Fuck you,
she's fucked.
Tilly.
She's fucked, man. Fuck you, Tilly. I'm going to clip that up and then play that because to your child.
No, perfect. Excellent. Yeah.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns.
Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So another non-manga recommendation from me is another book that I'd been meaning to read. I only ever read the first issue of this series, but I picked up the first trade of Dial H for Hero, Enter the Heroverse. Huh? Written by Sam Humphries with art by Joe Quinones and colors by Jordan Gibson. DC published this one. I think I only read like one or two issues of the Dial H for Hero series they published during New 52. Like, I think the final issue had like a bunch of artwork by almost everybody. So I read that and was very confused, but there was some great artwork in it. Dial H for Hero is about a phone that when people in need dial it, it turns them into a hero that's never seen before and may never be seen ever again. And the hero of this story is Miguel, who is a young boy who, when he was... he's a teenager, but when he was a young boy, he hit his head and... while diving and was taken to hospital by Superman, and that was the greatest moment of his life, and he's forever chasing a thrill that makes him feel like that, and so he's kind of like he's a extreme sports lover, and he in a near death experience after not making a bike jump, this mysterious phone appears, and suddenly he becomes a brand new character called Monster Truck, who looks like straight out of a 90s image book, and he is basically able to save himself as this ridiculous character who is you get his origin story over the course of two pages, and then you see him save himself, and then you don't see the hero again. It returns to Joe Quinones' regular art style, and in every issue either Miguel turns himself into a new hero, or someone who's previously had used the phone, who was desperate to get the thrill of using the phone again back, turns themselves into a hero. And every time a new hero arrives, they're drawn in a brand new style. They have an origin story which is very reminiscent of certain other characters in comic book and manga fiction. So there's a Dragon Ball character in the second issue. There's a Joe Quinones draws in a amazing perfect Frank Miller doing Sin City style. There's just there's a Vertigo, like a late 80s Vertigo issue pretty much. And I've always been a fan of Joe Quinones. This is just evidence that he is one of the best cartoonists working today.
He seemed like the whole book just seemed like he had so much fun getting to play with those different styles and all these fun characters and stuff. It was such a joyous thing to read, I thought.
Yeah. And it's just Sam Humphries, obviously a massive fan of comic books, and that's always been evident through the superhero books he writes, but he's able to just show off such a breadth of influences in this book that's just so fun. And it just keeps one-upping itself issue to issue. It just gets better and better as they mix in so many different comic book styles and references to so many artists that I'm a massive fan of. It's a love letter to comics. I know so many comic books claim to be that, but this is 100% that.
Probably is. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Have you read much of it?
I read issues here and there when I grabbed them, and I thought it was really good fun. I thought it was a nice book for new readers. I thought it had a lot to offer people who have read a lot of superhero comics. I thought it was good fun.
Yeah, it reads exceptionally well in trade. Definitely recommend the first trade.
Not my favorite of the Wonder Comics, though.
What is?
Would be Wonder Twins. Wonder Twins. Wonder Twins,
of course. Yeah, yeah.
I love Wonder Twins. I'm so obsessed with Mark Russell at the moment. I just read Second Coming, and it's so good. Brilliant.
Yeah, right. I feel like neither of us liked that first issue.
I didn't read it. I missed it.
Well, technically, you didn't like it because you didn't.
Technically,
read it.
I didn't like it. But as a whole, really enjoyed that series. I think Mark Russell always has something really clever to say, and I like that. Would you like another manga recommendation from me?
Yeah, because that's all I've got for the rest of the episode, so please.
Nice. I have been reading The Poe Clan. Look at this huge, huge, massive hardcover by Moto Hagio, who you might know from Rose of Versailles, or I think it's Claudette. So from the 1970s, lots of kind of... set in the past kind of stuff. Like Claudette was about a trans man living in like kind of French Revolution era, and that was really great. I've never read Rose of Versailles, but I imagine that's also set in a similar kind of time period. And this is a kind of super weird, almost like a Wuthering Heights-y book about these immortal vampire brother and sister.
Yeah, fun.
And family called the Poe Clan, but they're like their only family in that they sigh at each other as vampires. And it's really creepy and weird with like creepy incesty undertones or overtones. And it's just all these like sort of short stories about this family throughout history finding new prey or being discovered and having to escape. And it's beautifully illustrated, very weird. Really enjoyed it. Love it.
Yeah, fantastic. That's a beautiful, beautiful cover too.
Yeah.
Who publishes really that one? Good.
This one, Fantagraphics.
Unreal. Yeah, cool. Right, they don't really publish much manga. That's weird.
Nah, mostly like old stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Which is what I seem to be liking at the moment.
I haven't read much shonen manga lately. I did since recording the last episode. I have read every single chapter of Dragon Ball. So Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, and Dragon Ball Super. I'm 100% caught up on. That was a very, very fun read. Really, like, surprisingly quick, considering it's like 600 chapters or something like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you smashed that.
I burned through it. The highlights are definitely, like, Dragon Ball, the original first 200 chapters that started in the 80s. That's my favorite incarnation, when it's essentially a comedy strip with, like,
it's so tournaments. Cute.
It's so good. But then, especially the first, like, 150 or so chapters of Dragon Ball Z, the Frieza arc, I believe it's called, that is just so much fun. Just the height of, like, fun action adventure shonen manga. Massive recommendation on one of the most beloved manga franchises of all time. But now it's Dragon Ball Super is a monthly 40-page chapter that you get through the Shonen Jump app. It's really fun. It took me a while to kind of get used to, because I read like more than three decades worth of manga in the space of a couple of weeks. So the Dragon Ball Super is no longer drawn by Akira Toriyama. But it's like longer format than the standard, like, you know, 15 to 20 Shonen Jump kind of chapter. It's like up to between 40 and 60 pages long. Way more dense, way more happens, and the pacing difference was like a bit difficult to get used to, and it references a bunch of stuff that happened in movies and stuff that I'll never watch. But I'm in the groove of that now, and the current arc of that, it's back to like a crazy tournament stuff, like, you know, with all these different aliens coming to Earth, and all of the characters that you've met over the last couple of decades having to team up to take them down. It's great fun.
Dragon Ball.
A lot of fun. The thing I pivoted towards, because I've been really getting into board games. It's the perfect time to get into board games if you have a 6-year-old kid and you're stuck at home constantly. I bought for Valentine's Day for my wife this year, I bought her a Mahjong set because she loves that final scene in Crazy Rich Asians where... there's a Mahjong scene, right? I'll leave it at that.
I have surprisingly seen Crazy Rich Asians. I watched it on a plane.
Perfect plane movie.
Totally fine. good Mahjong scene.
We tried to teach ourselves Mahjong. Very hard to do with two people. I was recommended by a constant recommender of great things on this podcast. One of our truest and most beautiful listeners, Connor, they just mentioned that there existed an anime called Akagi, which is a Mahjong anime, originally
cool.
A manga, and I am now addicted to the works of a writer called Nobuyuki Fukumoto. and two of his manga, the two best known manga.
Gambling Apocalypse.
Yeah. So there's one called Akagi, and that is all about Mahjong. Then there's also Kaiji, which is about a like hopeless delinquent who constantly finds himself in incredibly high stakes gambling, like basically to like get himself out of increasing debt. He constantly enters himself into really, really high stakes gambling tournaments. It is so fun and so weird and so cool. He started writing manga in the 80s. And so naturally, I found everything available. I am supporting Nobuyuki Fukumoto the only way I can as an English reader by buying the Kaiji series, which is only just being published by Denpa now. But everything else I've had to read like dodgy translations of, which is not something I've ever really dealt with before. And it's quite fun, like reading like these, you know, comics that were drawn in the 80s that have had someone's literally like scribbled out the Japanese characters in like MS Paint and then typed in the English translation.
I love it.
It feels like it's like, you know, it doesn't get more bootleg. The pages are all warped because someone has like scanned them into from a tankoban. It's
that's so cute. That's such good determination. You know what I mean? Geeky obsession.
So like, I'd say like Mahjong manga, it is a genre. Obviously, it's not enormous, but there is quite... In the 80s, there was a massive Mahjong boom in Japan, so much to the point where there were multiple dedicated Mahjong manga weekly anthologies that came out. And
amazing.
Fukumoto submitted works to almost all of them. He started in the 80s with a book called Ten, and Ten is about a Mahjong cheat at first. And is quite quick moving, but then he settled into basically this. He will write like these mahjong battles that go for hundreds of chapters, and so like Akagi, which I've watched the, you know, they made 26 episode anime series of. We watched it, and it stops midway through this long battle. The first 13 episodes are like, you know, like quick, you know, 2 to 3 episode long arcs. And then the entire second half of the series is just this one, like very high stakes mahjong battle where Akagi, this, you know, young mahjong genius, is literally playing for his life because he's attached to a machine that every time he deals into his enemy's hand, it drains blood from him. And so
manga
that
is
ends.
So good.
It's so good. The series ends before that arc wraps itself up, which was upsetting. But then, so now that I'm reading it, it's almost like, you know, so most anime is just an advertisement. Hey, read the manga. The Akagi series, it reaches that really long battle. It's like it's 300 and something chapters long, all up the entire run. It reaches that battle I was just talking about at I think it's like chapter 60 something, and there's all these additional things that didn't get turned into an anime within those 60 something chapters. Then we hit this massive battle that I was talking about, and that battle goes from chapter 60 something to chapter 302, just one mahjong battle. And so I am a quarter of my way through that mahjong battle. It is so good. It's so hilariously descriptive.
So amazing.
It's so niche, incredible. And ridiculous. I know nothing about Mahjong, save for what I've learned from...
Yeah, I was going to say, do you feel like your Mahjong game has improved?
I feel like I'm really good at watching people play very good Mahjong, but I don't think I'd be able to play it anywhere above average. It is so amazing in, like, you have, like, spectators going, oh my gosh, if he does this, then this will happen. But what if he secretly knows that he has this card? And then you'll have like Akagi's opponents being like, this fool, he's blah, 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 blah. And it is like, you know, a fight manga, except instead of fighting, they're like, you know, carefully displaying mahjong tiles.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, you know, when they say different, you know, like when like, instead of like, you know, saying, you know, gumu gumu, like elephant gun or whatever, like Luffy in One Piece will yell out as he does a fight move, they'll just say like Richi and like win a game, or like Pon, Ron, yeah. or like win a mahjong game, and it's like, oh yeah, like fist pumping, yeah. And this is by far the most niche thing I've ever become obsessed with. And I have no
Even
one in my
you,
life.
Even for you, this sounds incredibly, like, specific.
I've read over 600 chapters of Mahjong manga in the last 2 months.
How? You know what I'm confused about, man? How do you have the fucking time for all this shit? I get to the end of the day and I just clean my house and go to bed because I am exhausted.
Yeah, I go to bed, but I go to bed to read manga. Right. Or I'll, like... Yeah,
is that your rest state? Just reading manga? You don't sleep. You just can't. You're like, I'm so refreshed after 600 chapters of Mahjong.
I don't know. I read it when I like, you know, if the rare moments that I get to eat breakfast by myself, or if I when I read it when I brush my teeth. Because I just have I'm reading it. I'm reading dodgily translated illegal manga on my iPad. There's no there's no protocol. No protocol for where you can read it. You can read it anywhere. There's no I'm already breaking every rule there is, so why not continue to break the reading rules too? Highly recommend to anyone looking to just be on the most Levin's bullshit of all time, the works of Nobuyuki Fukumoto. Like I said, the first volume of his most popular manga, Gambling Apocalypse Kaiji, is available through Denpa. It's way more accessible than the insanity that I was just talking about. The first
I have never felt like I was the cool one in this duo. But now you're a fucking nerd, man. I'm going to give you a wedgie when I see you.
Good luck.
I'm a jock now. Yeah, I know.
A jock a wedgie you're way from tougher 1.5 meters away.
Mate, are you still working out heaps? Are you working
no,
out?
Oh man, I gotten oh, so fat. It's been real fun.
Hooray.
Because I'm like I never spend nights with it's very rare that I spend nights at home with my wife, so we just drink a lot. It's rules.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Yeah. It has
final been. Recommendation: drinking.
Okay. Yeah. Unless you have to get up at 3 because your baby's crying.
Yeah, but then drink then too.
Oh yeah, but then both of just my children one. Have been waking up at 5. Every day,
My kids are all mad. They go to bed at 7:30. They wake up at 7:30.
Man, I'll get there. My children are very small. Do you have any more recommendations, or can I plug some other things?
Plug away. That's why everyone really listens to this podcast.
Number one, Queens of Kings is still running. Man, we're doing Zoom meetups. Awesome. Yeah,
that's great.
Thanks, Megan, for fucking organizing it. For crying out loud, she's so much better at stuff than me. So much better at my own job than me. But we're doing Zoom meetups, so if you'd like to come and be involved, you've never come along to Queens for some reason and you'd like to, we're doing Strangers in Paradise next month. Hooray!
Oh, man, that's so good. Starting at the beginning, or are you jumping to the good arcs?
Yeah. No, we are starting from the beginning, man. I'm going to put off as many people as I can. It's still great.
It's Kevin Smith-esque beginnings.
Yeah, but
there's a charm to it.
It's super charming, and it's really interesting recommending it to people and then seeing them get into it and be like, what? What did this turn into? So that'll be a good one. So you can find all of that on our Facebook page, Queens of Kings. Just look it up, guys. You know how the internet works. Another thing I'd like to recommend, I think you can pre-order it now, but our buddy Chris Neal is putting out a new anthology series about food called Steady Diet, which looks amazing. I've gotten, he sent me through some PDFs of some of the short stories in it, and it's so, so good. You can check
it
out.
Oh, that's so great.
Blueprint
Chris
Comics.
Neal, of course, the publisher of Meet Me in the Pit, issues 1 through 4. Is it a 4? Or is it 3?
Yeah. He's got some pretty cool stuff coming up with that series as well, but Steady Diet looks really, really great. It's all of some of Australia's absolute best cartoonists doing little whatever they reckon about food, and
that's
the cover
great.
Is super cool. So I recommend checking that out and trying to pre-order that. I also wanted to plug Josie and the Podcats. So good buddy Maria Lewis, who is the author of incredibly successful fantasy novels like The Witch Who Courted Death, and I think her new one is called The Wailing Woman, which is about a banshee. She has put together a 12-episode mini podcast series going in-depth on the incredible Josie and the Pussycats movie, which is one of my all-time favorite movies.
You've said so many, many times. Are you going to be a guest?
I fucking love it, man. No, it's already recorded. It's already done. I have no skin in the game. I just think it's so good. It's so good. I've been listening to it and, like... there's all the stuff I didn't know, like Beyonce auditioned for it and didn't get it. It went to Rosario Dawson, crazy. So did Aaliyah and Left Eye from TLC.
Crazy. Damn.
Yeah.
R.I.P. both.
And they got amazing interviews. They got, like, she talks to the writer and the director and...
And Beyonce.
And Beyonce.
Aaliyah and Left Eye Beyond the Grave.
But Rachel Lee Cook, who was Josie, she got a whole bunch. Yeah, man. It's really, really good and it's really funny. Maria's really hilarious. She goes into like a lot of the history, stuff I didn't know about the comics, and I really consider myself a bit of an expert. So that was really cool. Anyway, she's just really funny. And she goes into like a lot of history about the comics code, Archie Comics in general, Dan DiCarlo, because he created Josie, etc. It's really brilliant. You can, just look up Josie and the Podcast wherever you get your, or Josie and the Podcast. Josie and the Podcast? Josie and the Podcasts. Whatever.
Podcasts. It should be Podcasts. It better be
Podcasts. I hope it is. Anyway, it's really, really brilliant and I recommend it.
You are organizing a con later in the year.
Yeah.
That has unfortunately had to be postponed. Have you got an update on Brazen?
Yeah, so we've just postponed it to 2021, baby, in the hope that everything will be cool by then. It's going to be happening on May 21st, I think. So we've already locked in the venue. All of our guests are still locked in. We've just had to postpone for a full year. But it should still be great.
But I'm very excited for what it will become.
Yeah, I think we were disappointed to lose the momentum that we had because, like, we just hit our sort of crowdfunding goal and everything was going really well and we were really excited. But, you know, fucking look, small,
we're gonna need
small...
A con. We're going to need...
Exactly.
Yeah, women-focused cons more than ever next year.
Absolutely. So I'm excited for when it does happen and I think it's still going to be great.
Unreal.
But in the meantime, try and support local creators, et cetera, et cetera.
Definitely. And we're going to be trying to do more episodes of this as frequently as we can manage. And it's going to be a different format. I guess it'll be like shorter episodes and maybe taking questions from our listeners, which is exciting. If you like, use our brains that have read far too many comics to recommend you the perfect book for your quarantining right now.
Please let all this information that is in my brain be useful for crying out loud.
It's up to you, listeners. You know, we'll be recommending little projects that you can support local creators, like, you know, comic book creators with and things like that. I don't want it to be me updating you on Mahjong manga every single time we record. So it'll be like a fun little variety show. Maybe we'll try and get some guests on here. We've both missed doing this podcast dearly, and we're going to do all we can to continue it.
Thanks for your support, guys.
The support, yeah, definitely. We have a Facebook group. If you aren't in it yet, it's facebook.com/groups/seriousissuespodcast. And we have a Patreon too. If you do want to throw a couple bucks our way, it's patreon.com/seriousissuespodcast. Thank you so much to everyone who has supported us through these very dark times of us recording very few episodes. You are truly far better than we deserve, and we will make it up to you through content. Beautiful content.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for listening. If you want to support me in other ways, obviously that book, Nelson, it's out there. I lost all of my DJ gigs, so I started a mixtape service, which you can $5 a month gets you multiple mixtapes every single week. So curated, hand-picked, hand-mixed DJ mixes across all different kinds of genres. You can get it.
And if you like his Mahjong recommendations, goodness gracious, you're going to love his music.
I'm doing all kinds of ones. I've done hip hop mixes. I've done a mix all about like electro in like the early 2000s. I'm doing a you might like this. I'm doing a early 2000s indie rock mix next.
Yes, please.
With like that golden age of like purple sneakers. Yes, exactly.
Oh my god! Did you go to Purple Sneakers?
I was like a resident DJ at Purple Sneakers. That's how I learned how to DJ.
So cute. Goodness gracious. I was only the butt end of Purple Sneakers when it started falling apart.
Right. I was in the urethra end. at the beginning. Lots of different mixes are coming up soon. If you are able to support it, if you somehow have a job through all of this and you would like to, obviously no pressure. If not, it's patreon.com/levdog, LEVDAWG. That is also the same levdog that you can use to find me on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. And Siobhan is at Siobhan CBG, which stands for Comic Book Girl.
It sure does. Because I'm still a girl. I might be turning 30, but I'm still a tiny little girl.
I'm not 30 yet.
Nah.
That's unheard of shit. That's scarier than coronavirus to me.
Yeah, I'll say. What was I going to say? If you'd like to support me, just send me some positive vibes to help get through this with two small children.
Do you want me to send you a bunch of old toys? Do your kids need some clothes?
Oh, yeah,
We've been spring cleaning. We can give you all kinds of stuff. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Clothes would be great.
All right, we'll do. We've got lots of boys' clothes for you. And we've probably got some good boys' toys, too. Some board games, all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. We'll hook you up, Siobhan.
We support each other, first and foremost.
Yeah, thank you. And if you'd like to buy something from Kings, this is a great time to really support us. We'd appreciate it.
KingsComics.com. Of course, when we are recording normally, the provider of all of our weekly comics. I haven't read a floppy issue, a new issue of a comic in like this entire year yet.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's crazy.
But there's some really great stuff that we found from the warehouse, and they're putting them into sets so you can get like a whole run of like some comics from, you know, the 80s and 90s or even older stuff. Like there was some Jim Steranko, Nick Fury comics that I was like, I want to buy these, but held back, but there's some really good shit up there.
She held back so you can buy them, dear listener.
Exactly.
Head to kingscomics.com and pick them up just for us. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you are surviving through all this insanity. We're here for you. So if you do need comic book related support, please. We're a call away.
Absolutely.
All right, take care of yourselves. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.